It is Thursday, the 30th of August, and this is episode 132 of Digital Outbox. I'm slowly getting more enthusiastic with my openings. I don't know. It sounds a bit blasé now, but I am quite happy that we're doing Digital Outbox. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm joined by Ian to stop me rambling. Hello, Ian.
Good evening. It's 18 weeks to Christmas.
We're going to do a weekly countdown? Excellent.
It's like this is the last week of what I would class as pish news because there's a whole load of gadgets coming out, and that means Christmas is coming.
Yeah, we're coming into the more important season. Hopefully, we'll be coming out of patent wars season because, quite frankly, it's a season that's been long and boring, and maybe we're going to see some resolution. Well, we are seeing some resolution because the big news has basically since we last talked to you has been Samsung lost most of their case against Apple. No, Apple won most of their case against Samsung, shall I say? So Apple were moaning that Samsung were blatantly copying their products, which everyone could see, but everyone can see kind of why they're also copying. And a jury came back and, like I say, for majority of their action points, they said, yep. And they are being due to pay over $1 billion. $1 billion.
Aye. Yes.
Because they need the money.
And clearly. Clearly. None of us like patents. Let's get that out of the way.
None of us like the way patents are being used currently. There's fairer point.
No, because they are being used quite negatively.
Yes.
I guess I don't know if you'll have different views on this or not. I kind of like the fact that Samsung got a bit of a slap, to be honest, because I think out of everybody, they have they're the ones that slavishly copied. I think other people have done things slightly differently, and I think Apple have copied things from other people have copied from Apple, but I think Samsung really went out of their way to say, right, let's see if we just copy all their stuff. We're gold.
And I don't disagree. I think there's no denying that every time Apple do something, Samsung come out with a product that looks very similar, and it's never the other way around at the moment. And for good reason, because Samsung don't have about a gazillion dollars to spend doing all these things. Anyway, but so yes, agreed.
Come on, that's not true.
That's not true.
That's like when I used to say Apple's a really small firm compared to Google, and you would go, I'm not having that anymore. You can't tell me that.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. But yeah, so I wholeheartedly agree that, yep, they were copying, and really, yes, they probably should have their, they should have a penalty. What I don't subscribe to is the glee that I see hanging around that, yeah, Apple smack them down. Yeah, didn't want to say that, but yeah. So I don't see the glee in it, just because I think it's not necessarily a really good position for consumers. We are likely to see less choice. I mean, in America, this is an American decision, so it doesn't necessarily relate to us yet. But it's, the American market is massive for a firm, and if a firm can't get in there, then they're going to, they're going to be less effective as a firm. I did have another thought, which I haven't heard banded around, but I think something interesting is going to happen when all these patent rulings, which are effectively giving Apple monopoly on quite a lot of things, if in effect, what happens when the monopolies and mergers get involved in that? When they decide that Apple have too much of a dominant position in the tablet market, but there's two clashing laws there. One saying patent, only Apple can do this, and the other one saying, well, you've got a monopoly and you need to break it up.
Yeah, and I do wonder if it'll ever get to that. I really don't know. It's hard to say.
I guess the counter argument is Apple would just say, well, okay, you can license the technology from us.
I think Android really helped any threat of like a monopoly investigation, because if you look at Android, it's more dominant. So that,
not in tablets though.
No, but I think Windows has come along with their tablets, and it will sell. I think Android tablets that are coming out, look really good.
Is that as far as your sales forecast goes? It will sell.
It will sell.
It'll sell something.
Well, hey, just slap analysts in front of me. It's definitely going to sell.
Well, put your wages up.
even if it's like Steve Ballmer just buys a couple. And Apple buys a couple just to have a look, just to see what's what. The only thing I saw one interesting point, which was that if this was a business strategy from Samsung, it's actually probably been really cost effective. Because to cost them £1 billion or $1 billion, sorry, to get to number two and probably number one worldwide is like a fantastic investment.
Yeah, if you look at it like that, as long as it doesn't shut down markets, that's the thing, isn't it?
Long term, I can't see. I still think this is all about licensing. You know, the Apple were really labouring the point that Windows Phone but Microsoft have licensed a number of patents from Apple. We saw the Apple Nokia stuff before, where Apple were refusing to pay for some of the patents that Nokia held again over 3G. I still think this is a whole. Everybody wants to license. I think the only one it doesn't really want to is Google. You know, they're really saying, well, we want to be open. And there's this open argument about, well, we don't want to get involved in that.
Yeah, but they have, as we've seen before, they've bought patents to make sure they've got some in their back pocket to pull out at opportune moments.
I quite liked Microsoft's Bill Cox, great name, Bill Cox, Senior Director of Marketing. Windows Phone is looking good right now. I've emphasized the good, but in his tweet, he did put in like eight O's in there. So good.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's saying that. I guess he's got to build it up. I mean, there have been some detractors in news recently who have just using Windows 8 beta, so the actual operating system, the bits that they were grinding to start with and they thought they must sort out before the beginning, you know, before it goes gold, they're sort of saying actually it's still grating a bit now, so...
Yeah,
bit of backlash there. But yeah, of course, we've had Tim Cook coming out and saying how this was really good for them, and they didn't do this for the money, which is probably true. They didn't.
No, I didn't like his quote. I'm very proud. Today, values have won, and I hope the whole world listens. And I'm like, come
today,
on.
Today, values have won. Is that more like it? That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I'm not doing it again.
I ain't going to try and raise you. That's our official. You are an official Tim Cook from now on. I feel we've now just turned into like one of these Chinese news broadcasts where they do the kind of really spoof videos. We could just do audio tech puppetry each week.
You can be Balmer.
Woohoo! All I'll do is I'll just sweat profusely.
Okay,
and shout developers.
Predictably, yeah, Apple have come out and said, we didn't do this for money, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, values have won. And Samsung kind of said, yeah, but everyone who's really happy now, you're just lessening your choices and making everything more expensive.
Shaq did post this up. There was a really, I think, spoof post on Google Plus from a guy who was
I don't think he would give it airtime.
It was like, you know, the guy is a photographer and he's in his Starbucks. And he's happened to use his Samsung laptop. And the first couple come in and they were saying, hey, honey, I told you the Apple was a ripoff. Yeah, it looks like it. Samsung are just the same products. Then another couple come in and were saying the same thing. And another couple come in and looked at his laptop and says, yeah, we should go and buy Samsungs. And you're reading the whole thing thinking, see if just one of those things happened. Fair enough. But four different couples coming into his local Starbucks on a Saturday morning. And it was just like,
maybe Americans are really that silly. But I think his point was, you know, has the court case just made everyone think that they are the same product, basically?
No.
Yeah. Because the court case has kind of said they are the same product. Maybe he was doing tongue in cheek and it just didn't work. Anyway, Samsung aren't going away, obviously. This is only relating to the US at the moment. There's no saying, I mean, they have appealed and there's no saying that they won't be able to sell their products in America yet, but they have been at I call it the IFA show, but I don't know whether it's IFA or IFA. But basically there's a consumer show going on and they are chucking out more products. So we've got the Galaxy Note 2, upgraded specs, the latest Android and some quite nice little features.
I did wonder, is it the latest Android? Because lots of people were saying, I mean, Google's only comment about the Apple Samsung trial was that they believed a lot of the infringements that were upheld were nothing to do with core Android. It was all about the stuff that Samsung had added on. and the Galaxy Note 2 has come out, and it seemingly is just plain Android.
Plain old Android, mate.
And it's
they've got to be seen to be doing something. It costs an awful lot of money to make products, even if they're copies, and for them to be not be able then be able to sell them, that's, you know, awful. So just, it makes sense for them just to take it easy on these next few products, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. But anyway, so yes, it's got its stylus still.
Yeah, but then I'm using a stylus for my iPad, so hey.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense if you've got one in use cases, definitely got one. But they've also released the Windows 8 slates, or they have fully announced them effectively. Again, I guess it's more of the same, really.
It is a bit. The only thing I thought was a bit, and I mean, the slate, I'm trying to remember the name. Was it a Transformer that Asus had brought out, which was the kind of Androidy tablet with a keyboard, and you could use it as a laptop, and you could,
I can't remember what it was called now. I don't think it's Transformer, but yeah,
but okay. something crappy like that. And but they've done the same with this Windows tablet, and the only thing is the keyboard. See, when I looked at it, it was a MacBook Air.
The keyboard that this tablet attaches to make it into a mini laptop does. It does. The keyboard just looks like they've taken a saw grinder to an Air and just stuck it on.
And I can't take credit for this. This is I saw a tweet from Matt Gemmell, who we'll mention later on in the podcast, and he just put the hashtag Samsung, and I was like, I love that Samsung.
So that keyboard clearly came out through their design department, should I say their photocopying department, ahead of this case. But yeah, so they've upped the resolutions. I mean, so these devices really are tablet plus, really. So they're effectively a tablet, but you attach a keyboard and they do look like a mini laptop. I don't know how popular they're going to be, really. I don't know. I've not heard too. I mean, I wouldn't buy one, for example. If I want a laptop, I'll buy a laptop. And I've got my tablet.
So. Yeah, I still think they're more geared at enterprise.
Yeah, which and tablets really haven't hit the enterprise, so maybe this is a way in.
No, that whole, and I guess locally we've got some users that are keen to have the portability of a screen, but they also are going to be sitting at their desk for quite a while, and they want the keyboard.
Having a keyboard is good, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, very interesting.
If you ask them though, they want the iPad. though, so don't ask them.
Yeah. I am that guy at the moment.
Yeah,
that says no. The shame.
Were there a few other bits by Samsung that I've missed?
Yeah, there was a really nice Windows powered phone, so it really some really good specs on it as well. And this will be a Windows 8 phone, so probably out towards the end of October. And there was also the one that stood out for me was this Galaxy camera. So this was basically a camera with a 21 optical zoom, but it was powered by Android.
So is it in camera form?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has Wi-Fi, 3G and 4G as well.
But it is basically a camera. So why have they done that? Has it got added features in it? Or why?
Well, it's...
why do they need such a powerful operating system in there?
I'm assuming it's to take care of all the apps. If you look how many phones people are using
camera apps,
I think so.
So it's literally a kind of real souped up thing it's a bit specialist that.
But if you're going to, I guess what we don't know is the how close were point and shoot cameras getting from a processor point of view to a smartphone. You know, so if you're buying in volume,
They have to have their own software to run all the features that they run nowadays. So yep. Yeah, okay.
So is it easier just buying the same screen, same chips, same board inside, and then just slapping a different body around it?
And if you do install apps, there's going to be a massive marketplace for time lapse. What else can you do?
Absolutely. Well, I'm actually thinking of taking is it Magic Lantern as the firmware for Canon cameras. It's all hacked stuff. But it allows you to do time lapses in the actual software itself, and it merges it all together. You don't need to do anything. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to zap that in my camera and give it a whirl. What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong? You could break your.
It looks nice great. Camera. So yeah, Magic Lantern is the the thing. So I think there's a market. I don't know how big it is, but I do think there's a market there.
Okay. I think that covers most of Samsung stuff.
Yeah, Samsung.
Samsung. But Sony also rolling out some stuff, starting with their Tablet S. So another, this is along the new Microsoft format, and they've included basically a cover which turns into a keyboard. What a novel idea. Where have we seen that before? But it is running Android. Is that right? Let's have a look.
I've just been distracted by some news in The Verge right now. It's just been reported by Reuters that Larry Page and Tim Cook, so Google and Apple CEOs, have been having discussions to try and settle ongoing patent disputes.
Ah, so the season's not over.
Yeah.
But they're gearing up for Christmas. Clearly. Yes, so Sony's product is
this
running
Android.
It's running Android. So actually,
it's running Android, and the price was really competitive. So it was down at $399 and $599. And the interesting thing about this was that it had a touch cover, very much like the Surface. You know, so the cover you opened out and it was a keyboard.
I
wouldn't surprise me if Apple did something similar as well. I just think. Out of all the things about the Surface, that was the thing that stood out as that's nice.
I just don't think it's very Apple. I don't think it's very Apple. I think they've gone down this route. They want a device that just, you know, is itself, you know, a thing you're supposed to use your fingers with it. That having a keyboard dilutes what they're trying to do. You know, they've never liked things like that.
No, another one that stood out was the Action Cam, which was to, I guess, competing with the Hero.
Yes, there's a Hero HD2 now, yep. An Action Cam is Sony's equivalent, which is a bit bigger, but effectively going down the same market. So the idea is it's fairly rugged and can be attached to, you know, your helmet or your skis or, you know, wherever you happen to be.
Dashboards, whatever.
Actiony dashboard. What? Just ignore me.
I'm trying, but you're a big, massive video this week again. Last week I could just go, oh, but this week no. It'd be interesting if they have, because the Hero's got obviously the lion's share of the market right now, and it is a fairly sizable market.
It's a massive and it's growing market. Yeah. It really is. So Sony is pitching it around the same kind of price, so $200. For a standard, and then they're saying $270 to have Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi obviously means that you can then have a viewfinder. It doesn't, whereas the Hero's got attachable LCD screens and things like that, so you can actually see what it's looking at. This one doesn't come with a screen, so having a Wi-Fi connection means that you can actually have a viewfinder and obviously remotely view and capture from a laptop, for example. I know that the Hero HD2's got that functionality as well as an option, and that will allow you to do live broadcasting as well, as long as you're within reach of a connection. So I guess, yeah, like I say, it's down the same market. However, there are HD2 rivals already, which are cheaper but use the same chipset and have a, you know, a better feature set. So whether they're a bit late to this, I don't know, but their name will certainly help.
Name will help, and it's coming with, I think it comes with more in the box, and there's also a lot of, I mean, they have got all the attachments and housings and cases, and
of course they do,
so that's really good.
And they've got a nice old lens going on as well on
yeah
it. So it's bound, as most things Sony, they're going to be pretty high at the market.
Yep. And a couple of other things that stood out for me, there was three new phones, but the top of the range one had NFC and a 30 megapixel camera, and again looked very nice.
Everything's got NFC, no one's using it.
No. There was a 20-inch touchscreen PC running Windows 8, which you could either have lying down or standing up. Again, an interesting...
A lying down 20-inch. That's, yeah, a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit weird. And there was the XBR 84X900.
Wow.
And that's
that
all
sounds I'm, cool.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
What
well,
the hell is it?
It's an 84-inch 4K television.
84 inches?
Yeah. I know size isn't everything, but that is literally bigger than you. And
yeah.
So yeah, it's 4K. So it'll upscale from things like, you know, PS3s, Blu-ray players, HD content, or if anything ever comes out in 4K resolution, it will display it obviously fantastically well.
Going to be a while. US have had 4K for a while, really. Well, they've certainly been talking about it for a bit longer than we have. It's just starting to come on our horizon, really. So 4K is effectively 4 HD resolution, 4 times our current HD resolution. I think that's about right. So again, makes bigger TVs more possible. Amazon, they've chucking out their app store in Europe, so they're actually officially launching their app store over here. I thought it was already out, but maybe I've just jumped the gun because I never want to use it because it's a bit of a pain to actually add it. But the speculation is, does this mean we're going to get the Kindle Fire? Because
yes,
that's the main reason for having the app store.
I noticed last week they officially also did their Amazon Cloud app type thing, or Cloud Locker or whatever it was called, which you could kind of get here, but it was never officially announced. And I think it was last Sunday they kind of said, yeah, it's out now. So I think there's a number of things coming that are all tied around, but we are going to get something this time.
So the infrastructure's here and now the app store's here, so
yeah,
surely you need a device to go with it kind of thing.
They've got Love Film with loads of content sitting there, whereas last year I think content was still maybe a bit more questionable.
So I agree. Yeah, there are things, and Netflix have definitely moved things on in that arena just because there's competition now as well.
Absolutely. And just on the Fires, they've announced today that it's sold out in America, and it's just all press for next week. I mean, they announced that, I think it's September 5th is their event, or September 6th. I can't remember which day next week it is, and everybody's expecting there's new Kindle Fires. The Verge had a post today saying that this might be it, and it was just another rectangular tablet. So it's like, well, that's revealing. But they've announced that it's now sold out, so you can't buy one. And they also
so they're definitely gearing up then.
They are. And the thing is, Amazon never tell you numbers. They don't tell you how many Prime users they've got. They don't tell you how many tablets or Kindles have sold. But they've said they captured 22% of tablet sales in the US, which sounds quite high. And if you compare it to the number of figures or the number that Apple have sold, that would mean 6 million Fires. But it's a load of bollocks. Just come out and tell us how many.
Well, I know. Well, why do they need to?
We want to know.
Yeah, we want to know, but they don't need to tell us, and we don't need to know how well they're doing. All we know is that they're doing very well because they're a big, big company.
So just on the Amazon App Store, that is an Android store, and you get free apps. I think it's once a week. There's free apps.
So, yes, they did that deal, didn't they, where people could be part of the free app.
So I'm sure if you're an Android user in the UK, that's going to give you some more...
It's enough to pull you into trying it out, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Whether they've sorted out, you know, how easy it is to add a different app store into your device, because it used to be a bit of a pain having to turn off certain digital checks and things. It was like a 6-step process you had to do just to get the app store on your phone.
Just sounds like Android.
Yeah, basically. John Lewis, they're going to sell the Nook. Now, the Nook is not really known over here, basically, because it's only been sold in America and by the US bookstore Barnes & Noble. It came out there probably getting on 2-3 years ago now, something stupid like that.
But they've had lots of updates. I think there's been 2-3 updates. It wasn't just they brought a Nook out and that was it.
So, and the big selling point originally was that the Nook was a colour device, or at least had a colour element to the screen. Whether that still exists, I'm not sure. But anyway, John Lewis are going to sell it. I don't know how much leeway, I don't have leverage it's going to have. Kindle is pretty much a runaway success. WH Smith was their other company selling, I can't remember what we even called it now.
Yeah, and the thing to point out is they're not going to be selling a colour one. They're selling what's called the Nook Simple Touch and the Nook Simple Touch with Glow Light. So it's basically a black and white reader. And also they've just announced today that Argos, Blackwells and Foils are going to be selling it as well. Argos I have heard of. The other two, who knows?
Blackwells is a bookstore. You must have heard of Blackwells. Every university's got a Blackwells.
No, it's we don't have Blackwells up here. We have John Smith's was a bookstore at every Scottish university.
Oh, there you go. What's the equivalent then? Windows 8 upgrade price. We know now that it's going to cost $24.99, which is very reasonable, I'm sure. It sounds good. And also, if you've bought a PC recently, since the June 2nd, then the upgrade will only be $14.99. pretty common nowadays to just have a very, very cheap operating system, it seems.
Well, I'm still surprised that they're saying it's for a limited time. So I think it's through to the end of January. It seems, I don't know if they'll then decide actually that this is making sense. It just seems a bit daft to say buy it for $24.99 now, and I think the price they're talking about is like 100 and something after January.
I think they did that with Windows 7 though. I'm not 100% on that, but crazy. It was definitely cheaper to start with, and then it went up in price. It just gets penetration early of all regular consumers. That's basically what it does. Confirms that they're going to be a user base which are actually fairly sizable. Another big news there is that we've had Ofcom agree to letting Everything Everywhere chop off part of their spectrum to use for 4G this year. Now we've had response from Vodafone, and you summed it up quite nicely what their response means. They were crying like babies, basically saying how it's bizarre decision and against the, you know, what should be done because nothing's been decided. I mean, you can kind of understand their argument, which is they're kind of saying we don't even know what the 4G landscape is going to be in this country, and now you're saying that Everything Everywhere can do whatever the hell they like, and probably gain a march, and also could screw things up a bit, like it got in America where no one really knew what 4G was because everyone disagreed.
But if Vodafone
we did say that we were hoping that it wasn't going to happen over here.
But if Vodafone was in this position, they'd have done exactly the same thing.
So. Yeah, of course they would. I have to say my signal at the moment is particularly poor from Everything Everywhere. and every time I try and make a call, I can't, even though it says I've got full bars. But to be honest, that could be my phone. I could be mouthing the network when it's actually my phone.
And of course,
rubbish, you know?
The big 2 and 2 makes 5 is that they're going to make an announcement September 11th, and everybody's expecting the iPhone to be announced on September 12th, and everybody's going like, oh, 4G, iPhone, UK, it must. And then you're like, no.
And who cares? I don't care. I'm getting tired already about the speculation. Yes, there will be a new iPhone. Whoop-de-doo. Get over it.
It was more the 4G, but I'm more excited about. I'm not the new phone. I'll just get. I'm not.
But if it is Everything Everywhere's idea of 4G, and that's not everyone else's idea of 4G, then it's not. I think it is going to put us in a difficult position. So
yes.
So I agree with the wah.
Wah.
Tweetbot.
Oh.
Where's it gone? Do you want to take us through this one?
Yeah. So this is really a follow up from the Twitter API changes last week, and the world is ending. Basically, Tatbots, who make Tweetbot, put up a post and said, you might wonder where it's gone. We've had to pull it. We mentioned in the last podcast that there's now a user cap. So there's basically an app has a user cap of 100,000 users. And what we'd said at the time was that it really means if you're launching a new product, it's really difficult then to say, well, I'm going to sell this at 99p. We'll put it in the App Store. It's the best Twitter client ever. You can only sell 100,000 of them. You know straight away, you know, what I can sell it for, what profit I can do, and how much I can spend in investment. And you just know it's not going to grow, you know, as a product. The problem with Tweetbot for Mac is it's a open alpha at the moment. So unless they came to some agreement with Twitter, you as a user could sign up, try it out. It would burn one of the user slots, basically. And unless you revoked the Tweetbot for alpha from your Twitter settings, it really put the company Tatbots in a difficult position because they would run out of users.
Yeah, so they're basically saying we don't want to do this beta or an alpha period because we're using up towards our 100,000. We need those 100,000 users of people who are eventually going to pay for this thing. Otherwise, it's not economically viable.
No,
totally understandable. And they were trying to get an agreement with Twitter, obviously, to say that anything through our alpha period doesn't count towards that total. I mean, like you say, this arbitrary figure of 100,000 just on anything Twitter, you know, Twitter client related, just. Anyway, we're seeing the outcome of that, which is basically that people are aren't able to do full testing. So
No, and we're also going to see when there's a number of things have changed this week. Then on the web client on the website now, it no longer displays which third party client that somebody's posted a tweet from, and that's maybe just a small change for some people, but again, it's another step to saying that really Twitter is Twitter, and all these third party apps don't care about.
that is the end game of all this that we're seeing at the moment. You will get the Twitter client, which is the official Twitter client, and effectively that puts them in control of all their users, the users of their service, which, again, from a business point of view, makes sense.
And I wouldn't be so annoyed if they kept their clients up to date. The Mac client is well out of date. It's really old and junky, and I don't particularly like the ones on the iOS devices either.
And none of them are as good as Tweetbot.
No.
So there you go. That's the ultimate end game. And I guess, it's their ball. They can take it home and if they want to. And it looks like they do want to, for the very good reason is that ball costs an awful lot of money to keep kicking around. And they want to be able to take the money from it.
App.net, still going strong.
Got any followers yet?
Yeah.
Two?
15.
Ooh, that's probably almost as many as my Twitter followers.
Fantastic.
Diaspora, or basically that other social network which someone set up because they didn't like Facebook anymore. They've been releasing news, but I think they're going to open source their code. Is that right?
Yeah, I think this is dead.
Yeah, pretty much. There's plenty of open source social networks out there.
And the reason I did this then is that it kind of... it's a cautionary tale round about app.net, basically. So app.net was all about, give us the money, we'll fund a service, you'll pay for it. And Diaspora, whatever it's pronounced, was 2 years ago. They launched a Kickstarter when probably Facebook was at its lowest ebb from a publicity point of view. I think there was a number of privacy issues, right, and developers were sick of it.
It was all around that privacy and how they opted everyone in and all that.
I'm trying to remember the name of the advert program that they defaulted everybody to be bought into. And so they got 200,000 in a Kickstarter round, and lots of people were saying, "Yeah, this will be good," and it just never really took off. I think what didn't help was the founders kind of dicked around doing other things that they found more interesting as well. So they did actually say
they just got 200 grand sat in their pocket. Yep. Woo! Everything's shiny.
And I think that was when they eventually launched the product, and a number of people did join it, but it never took off. It's not got the market share. It's got all the issues that you can see is going to happen with app.net, that you'll maybe get a small key core community that will continually use it, but it won't ever break something like Twitter. And this is the same. They've open sourced it, and I think...
To summarise, thanks for your 200 grand. here you go. Here you go. It's all yours now. Here's a present.
Yippee!
Thanks very much. Just waiting it for the long, slow death. Sony, some bad news from Sony. They've shut Psygnosis. Is that how we say it?
I've always said Psygnosis, but I'm never the best at these pronunciations. No. And I'm from Glasgow.
It was the developer, and they're the developer that has the kind of blooming owl logo, isn't it? It's got like an owl and purple. So that's been around for years and years and years, way back.
So back in the day, you might think of things like Barbarian, which I can certainly remember. Which I'm sure had, I'm trying to remember her name, Marita Whittaker was the poster girl for it, I'm pretty sure. And it was the kind of, you kind of chop somebody's head and a little E.T. character would come on and kick the head off. This was back in like the early days. And then I remember Shaq loved it, Shadow of the Beast. It looked fantastic with multiple levels of parallax scrolling, and it looked amazing.
All the days when parallax scrolling was exciting.
And I hated it because it had zero gameplay, and he used to fight over that one. But
there's been plenty of games since that do exactly the same.
Absolutely. But the one the thing that stood out for me was Wipeout. I mean, it was the Wipeout sold the PlayStation for me. Shaq picked up the Sega Saturn, I bought the PlayStation, it came to the UK. And I remember I came over and I had Wipeout running. And the game blew me away, and the soundtrack blew me away. Introduced me to Chemical Brothers and Orbital and a few others. And for me, it's been a great racing series over the years. And it's just really sad that team, the team behind it, have basically gone now.
And they were Liverpool based, weren't they?
Yeah.
So that's 100 people out of work at a time when we really could do with. Not having people out of work, but games industry is pretty having a tough time at the moment.
Yeah.
So sorry, ending our news on the down.
Kind of failed here, didn't I? I really should have ended in some sort of, like, I don't know, Kikatori story. But I didn't.
Only 18 weeks to Christmas.
Well, let's end the opening ceremony last night was pretty damn good. Paralympics.
It was a bit more generic than the opening ceremony.
But it was quite geeky.
Oh, yeah, probably. And I like the sentiments. Yeah. And Yeah, so in general, I quite enjoyed it. Although I didn't make it to the end last night. I got to the end this morning.
Oh, did you know I got to the end?
That's, yeah.
Although
I was pretty tired.
I didn't watch any athletes coming in.
I see. So that did take an awful long time.
And for all, but it was, like, for all the slagging off that Trevor Nelson got, telling you, Channel 4, commentators weren't so good.
Christian Gurumurthy wasn't and very good.
Thanks for those adverts.
Yeah. Channel 4 is a commercial station, everyone, though, so Twitter did sort of lose a bit sight of that. Anyway, let's get on to some picks. So we've had a good day of the Olympics today, the Paralympics, if you haven't seen. We're doing quite well. Let's have some picks, and I haven't got a pick, clearly, which is pretty common.
I love the way you get Ian, I love the way you get excited about it, and then you go, and we'll hand over to
Ian. Yeah.
Two picks.
Two. There you go. Got one for each.
The first, I mentioned a chap called Matt Gemmell earlier on. He is a Mac developer. He's from Edinburgh. He runs a great blog as well. It's full of kind of like really long posts with every so often humour and snark, which just kind of ticks the box.
Everyone likes humour and snark.
Yeah. He has written a really simple app for the Mac called Sticky Notifications. And all this basically does is you install it. And if you've got an important thing that you're just about to, you need the toilet, somebody's just phoned you and you need to do something, you can record the shortcut, fire up a sticky notification, write what it is, and it'll remain as a permanent sticky using the notifications features of Mountain Lion on your desk. So instead of using a stickies app and having a horrible, you know, some sort of stickies thing somewhere on your desk, or instead of using crappy post-it notes, which are just like rubbish, I now use this. It also works on Lion as well, not through Notification Center, but through Growl. So Growl is another way of using notifications in the Mac. And this thing's damn cheap. It's only $3, and it's a bargain. He's also going to release it on the App Store, but it's been out for a week and a half now, and the App Store is no sign of being there. And more I'm finding myself just going back to not... I like the App Store for convenience. I hate it for updates. I hate it for the restrictions they're putting in. And so more and more, I'm trying to stay away from it.
The App Store, I've installed two programs, both of which were free from the App Store.
Oh, no, I've got quite a bit. So that's Sticky Notifications. So if you go to instinctivecode.com/sticky notifications.
Sticky dash notifications.
But it'll be in the show notes, as I always say. And I'll do a blog post about that one as well.
Okay.
The second is free. Woohoo. Again, it's for the Mac.
Best price.
And it's called Bark. And all this does is take, and I've had Growl running for years. All it does is it's a plugin for Growl that sends the notifications that usually appear in Growl through into Notification Center. So you've only got your notifications in one place. There's been a couple of other apps that have tried to do something similar, and they've been kind of a bit hacky and a bit like, I don't know if I like this. Bark so, is certainly the best one so far.
And it's probably a short-lived thing because so many programs were quite, you know, embedded with Growl because Growl was being the de facto norm on Mac for such a long time and offered them exactly what they wanted to do, which is tell people what's going on. So as soon as I think people make more use of Notification Center, I think this kind of app is not going to be needed anymore. But there's definitely a time and a period, which is now, where people have still got Growl, but what they want, and you know, they want it to go through to the notification.
And it follows all the fine-grained control you get in Growl, and it's free, so it's kind of hard not to install it.
There you go. So that is barkplug.in. You can go get that for free. And that is the end of our podcast. Thank you very much for listening. But as ever, if you want to find out more, you can do digitaloutbox.com on the web. I don't know what's happened to me today. I just randomly talk guff. Email us, info@digitaloutbox.com, bok.com, and Twitter, digitaloutbox, Skype, digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog's iand.net, and I'm iandickonapp.net.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is.
So I do Twitter. I was going to do the FU, but I thought, no, come on. No need.
That is it. Thank goodness I've just about made it to the end. Apologies for that. And we will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, dear God.
Do you know, you were fantastic until about 35 minutes. And it was just like one of my mates.
I've broken the 35 minute barrier. I've hit that wall.
It was like one of my mates at Batman last week. He got to an hour and 10 minutes. And then he was like, oh, that's me. And it was like a burst ball.
I think, to be honest, I think you're being rather generous with 35 minutes, because when you listen back, you'll realise that actually it was about 10.
But to be fair, you have been talking to basically the biggest pop filter in the world.
Yes, we have both matching pop filters.
It is a bit disturbing that we've both bought massive pop filters. See if I hear a pop tomorrow, I will actually send this back. I will be gutted, because I literally cannot get a bigger pop filter.
It envelops your room.
I'm going to go and bend it a bit more now.
You go bend it.
Yeah.